Welcome to Witness Wednesday. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Glid, with the LCMS Office of National Mission. Our topic for this edition of Witness Wednesday is witnessing in crises. Now, we don't wish that crises happen to people, but we know that living in a fallen and broken world means that they're inevitable. And when people do encounter some kind of crisis in their lives, these crises create opportunities for us to bear witness of Jesus, His love and His concern, His compassion for them. So crises happen, but crises vary. There are different kinds of crises in people's lives. Now, some of these crises happen on a very broad scale. They're national or global crises. We witnessed the power of crises and the impact they have in the spiritual lives of people in the 9/11 terrorist attacks in our nation. And we saw that after that crisis, people came to the church. They were looking for help. They were looking for guidance. They were looking for strength and stability. And it shows how crises do open up opportunities for the gospel. We saw the same thing happening to a lesser degree in the economic crisis in our country as people experienced job loss or insecurity, as the value of their homes depreciated. All the things that they trusted in were crumbling around them. They were looking for spiritual answers. They were looking for some deeper meaning or purpose in life. It created an opportunity for us to bear witness in the midst of that crisis. Other crises happen at a community level. One example of a crisis at a community level would be a natural disaster. If a tornado strikes a community, wildfires affect an area around a community, or an earthquake, something of that nature that takes place where people feel helpless, they're sensing great loss, they're looking for help, they're looking for answers, they're looking for hope. We also see communities go through crises when they lose a major employer and suddenly large numbers of people in the community are thrown out of work, and there's a ripple effect as businesses and people who provide services are also no longer able to count on that employer to be a source of income to them. And all too often, we learn of community crises through the national news when there's some sort of mass shooting or a shooting at a school, and these are kind of things that rock a community to its very core. A crisis that calls for an answer from God's Word, and we have the opportunity to bear witness. But most of the crises that we will encounter, most of the crises in which we can bear witness of Jesus' love, happen at a very personal level. People we know, people we work with, or people we go to school with, people who live in our community, our family members and friends, inevitably, invariably, will go through some sort of personal crisis. There may be a relationship problem, or there may be struggling in their marriage, or maybe infidelity, maybe some other kind of relationship problem with another family member, a child perhaps, an aging parent, something of that nature. It becomes a crisis for them. The rest of the world doesn't even take note. It doesn't have an impact in our nation or even the community, but it's very real and very large for them. And it opens the door for us sharing God's Word to speak to their crisis. Other personal crises include things like health issues. Either they or a loved one has been diagnosed with a serious disease, maybe a chronic disease, perhaps even a terminal disease. There's the personal economic crises of a job loss. There's also, of course, inevitably, the death of a loved one or a close friend that has to be dealt with. In these personal crises, we have the opportunity through the relationships that we have with people to bring the witness of Jesus' love, care, and compassion to them. So a lot of how you respond to a crisis is driven by the relationship that you have with people. In a national or community crisis, you may say, well, what can I do? I'm not an important person. I'm not a national leader. I'm not a community leader. I'm just an average person. Well, in those crises, you can focus on the people you know. A wide-scale crisis really calls for person-to-person response for most of us. Few of us have responsibilities on a national level or as a community leader. Few of us will be called into the public limelight. Few of us will give interviews where we have the opportunity to share words of encouragement or hope. But all of us know people who are affected. All of us know people who need to hear the good news of Jesus in the midst of these kinds of crises. So national and community crises do give us an opportunity to respond when we focus on the people we do know. because it's in the context of our relationships that we can respond to these crises, not just a national and community crisis, but especially the personal crises of people you know well. And chances are, this is where most of your witnessing as a disciple of Jesus Christ is going to take place in terms of crises. In crises, people reach out, and they will reach out to you if they see that you live with hope. So how do you respond to someone who is in the midst of a crisis, who is looking for that hope, who looks to you to provide some hope to them? Well, the first advice I would give to you is remember to use Lassie. And if you remember Lassie from our previous discussions on Witness Wednesday, you know that the first letter of Lassie stands for listen. Listen to the person who's going through the crisis. Don't assume anything. Listen to understand what the real issue or the real fear or the real concern is for that person. Don't jump to any conclusions. Listen carefully to what they're saying. And then the second letter of Lassie is ask. Really make sure you're clear on what's going on in their heart and mind by asking questions so you can learn more, so you can get a good insight into what it is they're seeking, what it is that's troubling them, how this crisis is affecting them. Then seek. Look for that point of contact. It may be different than you first think that it is. You may want to address the crisis. You may even want to be the problem solver that comes in and say, well, this is how we can deal with this. This is how we can resolve this crisis. Instead, seek where the Spirit is leading you to share God's word, not as a problem solver, not as a crisis fixer, but as a witness of Jesus Christ. So seek out that point of contact, keeping in mind that it may be different than you first think that it is. It may not even really be in the center of the crisis, but off on the periphery of the crisis, this real issue, this real heartfelt need that your friend, neighbor, loved one has. And then share. Share God's word, because God's word is powerful in crises. Well, actually, God's word is powerful all the time, but God's word is especially powerful in crises. Be careful, though. Don't use platitudes. Don't say things that don't come from God's word, that just kind of sound like God's word. These are the things that our culture has promoted that we often hear people say in the midst of crises, but they're not actually from the scripture. They're not God's word, so they can't bring the power of God's word. Well, some examples of these would be, quote, God will never give you more than you can handle. First of all, that's not something somebody really wants to hear when they're crushed by the circumstances of life. And secondly, it's not from the scripture. It doesn't reflect the God of compassion and love who comes to those who are brokenhearted, who comes to those who are crushed, who he himself even crushes people if that's what it takes to turn their hearts to him. Another platitude to avoid would be everything happens for a reason. Again, not from the scripture. And not what people really want to hear in the midst of their crisis. Because you're not able to provide the reason. Throwing out that kind of platitude is only going to lead to greater despair, not hope. And also avoid that, well, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Because we know that many of the things that don't kill us leave us weak and broken and hopeless. These are the things that our culture offers in the midst of a crisis. We have something far better. We have something far more powerful, something that really brings hope and comfort and peace. We have God's word. So speak that word. And remember that quite often the person to whom you're witnessing doesn't know God and doesn't know God's word. Don't assume that this person knows what the scriptures have to say. Don't assume that this person has the same hope that you have. Remember, we're talking about witnessing here, and witnessing means we're talking to people outside of the faith, people outside of the knowledge of Jesus. So don't assume they know God's word at all. Bring God's word to them. That's what a witness does. And then invite. Invite this person to connect to the only anchor in the storms of our lives, the only one who can be a rock, the only one who can provide them stability, the only one who will not disappoint them. Invite them to connect to Jesus through his word and his sacraments. It will vary. It may be an initial connection through the mercy work that's taking place in conjunction with the crisis. It may be a connection through a pastor who can provide counseling when the crisis is at a personal level. It may be you or another believer bringing God's word to them repeatedly throughout this crisis to give them encouragement and hope. but invite them to something, to continue in the Word, to stay connected to this Jesus, who is our anchor in life. And finally, encourage. Don't just move on. Just don't offer a few words of comfort or encouragement and just peace be with you, be warm, be well fed kind of approach to their crisis. But make the commitment and be willing to pay the price that it takes of investing yourself in this other person as you follow up and follow through the witness that you've given them, so that throughout the crisis, however it ends, however long it persists, that you are there to share the word of Jesus with them, to share that word of encouragement and hope, to share the only thing that will make a real difference in the context of this crisis, and the only thing that will make a difference for them in eternity. The love and joy and peace of Jesus, which you know, and which you have the privilege of sharing with people in the midst of their crises.